At both services today, I want to think with you about one verse from the Lord's Prayer, verse 13 of Matthew chapter 6, where it would be helpful for you to have your Bible open. And although I think it is one petition, it consists of two parallel sentences. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." My intention is that we should consider the first sentence this morning and the second this evening. And let me tell you the context in which we come to it. Last month, when we were thinking together about the general theme of our Lord's teaching on and practice of prayer, sometime towards the end of that short series, someone came to me and raised with me the question of the Lord's Prayer, and especially this last petition of the Lord's Prayer. "What on earth can Jesus possibly mean?" they said. "How can we possibly think of God leading us into temptation? Would he not naturally always lead us away from temptation? And why should we pray, 'Lead us not into temptation,' if it is the very thing that God would never do?" There are many problems that arise surrounding this petition in Jesus' model prayer, if you think of it. For example, the person who raised this with me said, "Does not James 1:13 say, 'When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me?' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." God is not party to the whole idea of temptation. So you see, we need to ask some questions about this phrase, which we repeat here certainly, probably every Sunday. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And the questions we need to ask are questions like these. What does Jesus mean when he teaches us to ask our Heavenly Father, "Lead us not into temptation"? Second question, why would God lead his children into temptation if he does? Third question, if he would, and if he does, why should we pray that he would not? Lead us not into temptation. And these are the questions I want us to ask of this petition this morning. What does Jesus mean, first of all, then, when he teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? Well, one answer is, and it is the simplest, probably the commonest answer that people give to the question, that this petition doesn't really mean what it seems to mean. It seems to mean that Jesus is saying, "Ask God the Father not to lead you into temptation," but it really means, "Ask God the Father not to lead you into testing, trouble, tribulation, trial, difficult times," and so on. Because, of course, there's a close similarity between these two ideas in the word that's used in Matthew 6. So the New English Bible translates, "Do not put us to the test." That is, do not lead us into testing situations. And it is just possible that one could translate it that way. The difficulty, of course, is this, and you might have guessed it from our first reading this morning, that if you just go back two chapters in Matthew's Gospel, you find the classic instance in the New Testament where God did lead someone into temptation. You know, of course, to what I'm referring. It is the occasion in Matthew 4, verse 1, when we read, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit," that is, the Spirit of God, "into the desert to be tempted by the devil." So God does lead into temptation because he led his Son into temptation. And the purpose, you cannot possibly say it any other way, the purpose that God the Spirit had in leading Jesus into the wilderness was in order that he might be tempted by the devil. But of course we can't just leave it there. We need to recognize that what God was doing when he led Jesus into the wilderness was not enticing him to sin, which is what we usually think of when we think of temptation. He was exposing him, rather, to the assaults and fiery darts of the devil. And the point is that though he is not the author of temptation in that sense, he nonetheless is an employer of temptation. He uses it, takes it up as an instrument in his hands for a particular purpose. Now it'd be important to probe a little further. Because Jesus cannot be meaning, when he teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," "Do not let us ever be tempted." Because that would mean that we would need to be taken out of this world and into heaven, where there is no sin, no devil, where we do not know the weakness of the flesh, and where there will be no temptation. That will be one of the glorious things about being in heaven. The fires of temptation will no longer be part of our Christian experience. So Jesus is not talking about all temptation. What he is talking about is the peculiar entering into temptation, which was his own experience in the wilderness. Now you will recognize that that was not the only time that Jesus was ever tempted by the devil. The devil came and was tempting him again and again when he left him in the wilderness. We read he left him for a season. But Jesus knew what it was to be tempted in many different ways and in many different periods of his life. But there were times when the fires of temptation appeared to be stoked in a special sense, and the wilderness was one of these. So I think that Jesus is speaking about something similar to what the Apostle Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, when he speaks of the evil day that comes upon God's children. "Stand," says Paul, "that you may be able to stand in the evil day." And the evil day is the kind of temptation, I suppose, that Jesus was also referring to when he says to Peter, "Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. And I have prayed for you." Now that kind of sifting by the satanic subtleties of the evil one, is what I think Jesus is speaking of. Nobody has written more perceptively in the whole of Christian history, I think, about temptation as John Owen, the Puritan, man with a massive mind and contemporary of Oliver Cromwell. He writes these words about temptation. Whilst it knocks at the door, we are at liberty. But when any temptation comes in and parleys with the heart, reasons with the mind, entices and allures the affections, then we enter into temptation. Let me put it more simply for you. There are two elements, basically, in temptation and in experiences of the devil's coming to draw us away from Christ and to bring us into bondage in sin. One is the opportunity. The other is the desire. Now you just read your own experience and you will recognize that there are times when you have the opportunity to sin, but you don't have the desire. There are other times when you have the desire to sin, but you do not have the opportunity. And sometimes in His grace and providence protecting His children, God may withdraw the desire for sin when you have the opportunity, or He may withdraw the opportunity when you are burning with the desire. But when the desire and the opportunity together are brought to one another, and you have both, then that's when you really enter into temptation. And this, I think, is what Jesus means when He says to us, you need to pray, do not lead us into temptation. Now that leads us to the second question. That was what Jesus means when He teaches us thus to pray. The second question we need to ask is, why would God lead His children into temptation? It appears that He has done so with Jesus. It appears that Jesus is meaning this very thing when He teaches us to pray in this way. Why would God lead His children into temptation? I think the basic answer to that must be that through these experiences of the fires of temptation, God can produce qualities in His children which can be produced probably in no other workshop. What I am saying is that God may lead us into temptation to make our graces grow. Have you ever thought of that being a school of Christian growth and Christian maturing and Christian experience? Where our pride, for example, is humbled, as we suddenly discover how weak we are. That's one of the things, you see, that so often we don't recognize. We imagine, don't we? You hear of somebody who has fallen somewhere, someone who has sinned and collapsed and their life is blighted, and you stand back with a kind of academic interest and a certain quality of proud spirit, and say, well, of course, not out loud, but inwardly, that sort of thing would never happen to me. And the Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. And God sometimes opens the blasts of temptation to us that we discover our weakness and recognize how foolish is our pride. But He does so also to transform our character and make us more like Christ. John Owen says a beautiful thing. He says a lot of things that are difficult to understand, but he says one beautiful thing that's easy to understand about this. He says, Christ was tempted to make him like us. He was tempted in all points like as we are. We are tempted to make us like him. Right. If you got that, that puts into concise statement why God leads us into temptation. Yeah. Listen to these words of John Newton, which are words of testimony. They can be found, if you want to have them, at hymn 698 in Christian Hymns. Not a terribly singable hymn, I think, but marvelous words. Listen to John Newton. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayst seek thine all in me. You see, in God's hands, temptation is not what it is in Satan's hands. In Satan's hands, it's an instrument of destruction. But my dear friends, God is greater than Satan. Now, I'm not supposed to be raising my voice this morning, but if I were able to raise my voice, this is the point at which I would raise it. God is greater than Satan. And he is even able to employ him for his purposes. You got that? These inward trials I employ. So Luther says, one Christian who has been tempted is worth a thousand who have not. An extraordinary but true statement. One Christian who has been tempted is worth a thousand who have not. Here's the third question. Why should we then pray, lead us not into temptation? What does Jesus mean? He means indeed what he says. Why does God then lead his children into temptation? He does so in order that we might be made like him. Why should we then pray, lead us not into temptation? You would almost conclude that we should pray, lead us into temptation if it does this to us. I think the answer may lie in two areas particularly. we are aware of the weakness and the vulnerability to sin, the sinister capabilities of our own flesh to engage in almost any sin. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the weakness of your own flesh, of the capacity of your own nature to engage in almost any kind of sin? So we pray, as Jesus cried to his Father, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And we cry, Father, if it is possible, do not lead me into temptation. Because I am aware of the weakness of my own flesh. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But the other thing is, we are aware of the strength and subtlety of the devil. Deliver us from the evil one. We will be looking at this second phrase this evening. But there are basically three things the New Testament tells us that we need to avoid if we are going to be victorious over the devil. We are to avoid being uninformed of his schemes. We are not ignorant of his devices, says the Apostle to the Corinthians. We are to avoid underestimating his power. Jesus speaks of him as a prince, as the strong man. And we are not to underestimate the power of Satan. Nor are we to be uninformed about his particular subtleties. And the third thing is, we are not to be unprepared. We are to be ready for his assaults, taking unto us the whole armor of God. And because of the weakness of the flesh, and because of the strength and subtlety of Satan, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Now let me then draw your attention to two things that we need to say by way of conclusion. If we pray this prayer, and take heed to Jesus' warnings surrounding the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, that we are not like the hypocrites. If we pray this prayer from our heart, it will mean first that we ourselves will not knowingly put ourselves in the way of temptation. When we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, because we are aware of the weakness of the flesh and the power of the devil, we will not ourselves knowingly put ourselves in the way of temptation. Now that has 1,000 implications. You can fill them in for yourself. But if I pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, and then I take myself into the pathway of temptation, or put myself in the position where I am ready to be an object of the devil's attention, then I am not praying the prayer genuinely. Second thing by way of conclusion is this. If we do enter into these fires, we have a strong deliverer. Entering into the fires of temptation when we are in the will of God, experiencing the reality of temptation and the assaults of the devil and being sifted as he was, to whom Jesus said, Satan desires to have you. We have a strong deliverer. That's why it's so important for us to ponder on the second half of this statement. Deliver us from the evil one. Now, by God's grace, even when we have fallen, God is greater than Satan and greater than our sin. And we are to say to him, when he gloats over us in our defeat even, rejoice not against me, O mine adversary. When I fall, I shall rise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for its instruction and wisdom, and pray that you would enable us by your grace to obey and embrace it for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.